Welcome to this week's Shortwave America program. This show is running a bit differently than it has been in the past. Material from the Amateur Radio Newsline is being presented in a shorter fashion and without the actual voices of AR Newsline you have grown accustomed to. We'll have news from Southgate Amateur Radio Club, a Shortwave America news segment, followed by news from the world of international shortwave broadcasting, courtesy of PCJ Radio's Media Network Plus program, and then we'll have part two of Flash Frisbone Radio Ace. Later in the show, we'll be introducing content centering on news and culture in and around China, as well as shortwave and HFSSB loggings. Shortwave America, your international source for quality shortwave, amateur radio, and diverse radio-related content. Let's start the show off with news from Amateur Radio Newsline number 1807. In the category of ham celebrations, World Amateur Radio Day to celebrate 50 years of ham radio in space. April 18th is World Amateur Radio Day and celebrates the 87th anniversary of the founding of the International Amateur Radio Union, the IARU. Now it has been announced that the theme of this year's World Amateur Radio Day is Amateur Radio Satellites Celebrating 50 Years in Space. The name and the theme were chosen in remembrance of the launching of Oscar 1 on December 12, 1961, and Oscar 2 on June 2, 1962. Several IARU member societies have already announced special event stations for various dates during April to celebrate these two early ham radio in-space milestones. Call signs known as We Go to Air include 6H6IARU, 3G73IARU, and LZ1WARD. The EARD suffix standing for World Amateur Radio Day. We need to correct it to read WARD suffix stands for World Amateur Radio Day. Ham radio in space. Japan to launch amateur radio satellites. Big news on the ham radio space scene. This with word that the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency has announced the upcoming launch of 5 amateur radio satellites. This on 2 launches taking place this spring and summer. The first launch is the H-2A that takes place on May 17, 2012. It will carry the amateur radio satellite HORYU-2, that's HORYU-2. This will be followed on July 21st when the HTV-3 mission takes place. It will deliver the GEM Small Satellite Orbital Deployer, or JSSOD, to the International Space Station. That unit will enable small satellites to be deployed from the ISS using the Japanese Experiment Module robot arm. The Japanese amateur radio satellites WEWISH, that's W-E-W-I-S-H, and FITSAT-1, that's F-I-T-S-A-T-1, along with San Jose State University's Tech EdSat and Vietnam's F-1 will also be delivered to the ISS on this mission. Plans are for them to be deployed to orbit on September 20th. Restructuring. FCC forms Broadband Spectrum Reallocation Committee. The Federal Communications Commission is proposing to reallocate another 40 MHz of spectrum out of mobile satellite services spectrum for broadband and has formed an incentive auction task force. This is a committee loaded with some well-known names in the field of telecommunications. Its purpose will be to manage the auction process to restructure current broadcast television spectrum for future broadband use. Ruth Milkman, the former wireless bureau chief who is now special counsel to the FCC chairman, will head up the task force. Among others, she will be joined by Rick Kaplan, who now heads the FCC's wireless division, Julius Knapp, head of the Office of Engineering and Technology, FCC Chief Economist Marius Schwartz, Chief Technologist Henning Schulzerin, and General Counsel Austin Schlick. Along with the formation of the task force, the commission also issued a notice of proposed rulemaking to open up 40 megahertz of spectrum in the 2 gigahertz mobile satellite services band for wireless broadband. The proposed rules would allow flexible use of the targeted spectrum and reflects the directives in the National Broadband Plan. In the category of ham happenings, ESPN employees create the Worldwide Amateur Radio Club. Current and former employees of the Entertainment and Sports Network, better known to the public as ESPN, have formed the Worldwide Amateur Radio Club. Located on the grounds of the ESPN facility in Bristol, Connecticut, the group has now been granted the club call WE1SPN. At present, the club has about 40 members. Inaugural operations were to take place on 7.177 MHz at 2100 UTC on March 29th. This opening gala was to include trying to contact as many radio clubs at Disney theme parks as was possible. The Worldwide Amateur Radio Club is the latest bin in a long series of broadcast industry-based employee recreation entities. It joins similar employee groups at the CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox networks, as well as at a number of broadcast stations nationwide and worldwide. More about WE1SPN can be found by checking the listing page for their call sign on QRZ.com. More from the world of ham happenings, South Africa Western Cape Antique Wireless Association Expo. South Africa's Western Cape section of the Antique Wireless Association of South Africa will be holding an expo over Easter weekend from April 6th to the 9th. Location is the farm owned by John and Judy Martin, ZS1D and ZS1JEG, and located near the town of Stanford. Featured will be a large display of radios of yesteryear and associated equipment. Also, a classic radio station will be in operation. Talk-in is on 145.5 MHz in the 2-meter simplex band, as well as on the 145.725 Hermanus repeater. Those planning to attend are encouraged to bring an antique radio to exhibit. Names in the news. RSGB appoints new AROS coordinator. The Radio Society of Great Britain has announced the appointment of Keith Bassett, G7NBU, has been appointed as the new Amateur Radio Observation Service, or AROS coordinator, with Mario Brasshill, G2DPA, appointed as a deputy. The RSGB says that together they bring significant experience and skill to the Amateur Radio Observation Service with its broad challenges of investigating matters that might create a negative public image of amateur radio. This from the RSGB. Now let's move on to news from the Southgate Amateur Radio Club. Sunspot AR-1429, the source of many strong flares and geomagnetic storms earlier this month, is about to reappear, following a 2-week trip around the backside of the sun. Although the sunspot has probably decayed since its heyday, there are signs that it might still be a potent source of solar activity. More news comes to us as we hear about a new Irish radio enthusiast website that's been launched. A new Irish radio enthusiast website was launched a few weeks ago. Airwaves Ireland caters to all aspects of the radio hobby, from SWLs, amateurs, to aviation and SAR monitors. There is a real-time ADS-B feed showing aircraft movements in and out of Dublin Airport and across the Irish Sea, with a live audio stream of Dublin Airport and Tower in the background. The site also hosts audio streams from marine band scanners across the country and gives an insight into the heroic work done by the local SAR services. SAR is search and rescue. Airwaves Ireland offers any Irish radio club who wants to have an online presence their own section of the forum for club news and announcements. Feel free to drop by and register on the forums or have a look at air traffic across the Irish Sea. Ottawa, Canada relaxes rules for personal antennas. A compromise between the city and amateur radio enthusiasts means they'll get a bit more freedom to put up private antennas on their houses and in their yards. Ottawa City Council agreed Wednesday. The city doesn't directly regulate antennas on private property. That's Industry Canada's job. But the federal department gives municipalities a chance to say what they think. The rules are primarily meant to regulate cell phone towers, which companies like Bell and Rogers are building more and more of to try to keep up with demand for a smartphone service. But they cover amateur radio antennas as well, and ham radio operators said they were too restrictive. You can read more on this subject by going to http://tinyurl.com/78PP4NE. Titanic GB100MGY will be on 502 kHz. GB100MGY will be operating on 502 kHz from the Fort Perch Rock Marine Radio Museum in the Wirral, UK during the Titanic commemoration. Their website says the following. We have special permission from Ofcon to use the 501 to 504 kHz band from the 12th to the 18th of April from above location at FPR using above call sign. Please listen out for us on around 502 kHz on CW. We will be on the air this frequency most evenings and overnight on the 14th and 15th of April, the anniversary of the Titanic's sad demise. We will be using marine radio equipment from Marconi, JRC, NERA with a long wire between fort and lighthouse and a 600-foot loop aerial around the fort. For those of you without a 500 kHz band NOV, we will be doing crossband QSOs on 3566 kHz, that's 3566 kHz, or 7066 kHz. We also have a Kenwood TS570 100-watt transceiver, which will be used on a vertical aerial for QSOs on all other amateur bands with CW and SSB. GB100MGY. You can see their website at www.gb100mgy-fortperchrock.co.uk. Special thanks to the Amateur Radio Newsline and the Southgate Amateur Radio Club for all of this material. Continuing on, here is Shortwave America News. At 5:42 p.m. on March 23, 2012, our good friend Andy Sennett said this about the changes that will take place at Radio Netherlands Worldwide, otherwise known to everybody as RNW. There will still be an English website, but there will no longer be any news or articles specifically about the Netherlands, unless they are related to our only remaining core task, which is to serve countries where press freedom is restricted. Our Prime Minister, Mark Rutte, said that carrying out information about Netherlands is a nice thing to do, but not with government money. The exact details haven't yet been finalized, but we will be announcing that on this site as soon as they are. What was Andy talking about? Well, as most everyone knows by now, RNW has been the victim of state-mandated cuts and closures of services. This means that RNW will essentially be reinvented as a media source catering to countries of the world who suffer from state-imposed media freedom restrictions. Most people can agree that this is indeed a noble and heroic task to undertake. One can only question, though, why this would be done at the expense of those who need and want news about the Netherlands, Dutch culture and events, etc. Did Mark Rutte ever think about how this may impact tourism? Segments of international relations that will now be left out? Further research into the origins of these rash decisions brings us to this. the Dutch government is almost ready to fall due to failures of their political parties to work out a realistic budget for 2013. Quoting them, Diederik Samsom wants to call general elections immediately if the cabinet falls. He also says he would not do business with an outgoing Rutte cabinet before new elections. We are posting this here verbatim because we honestly cannot imagine ever saying it better than Andy can. As the clocks in Europe go forward to summertime, Radio Netherlands Worldwide is entering a period of drastic change, which will see the closure of many services and the relaunch of the organization with a much smaller staff. RNW will in the future be specializing in producing material for audiences in countries with limited press freedom. RNW will no longer be broadcasting to Dutch expatriates. The Dutch radio service will hold a 24-hour marathon broadcast on 10-11 May, that's on the 10th and 11th of May, to mark the end of its 65 years of service. Other services will be affected too. Plans are still to be finalized, but Radio Netherlands Worldwide will cease to operate in a number of languages and other services, including this website, will be adapted to meet the new focus of promoting free speech. All these changes have been forced on RNW by the Dutch government's decision to slash our budget by 70% with effect from 1 January 2013. The budget will come from the Foreign Ministry rather than the Ministry of Education and Culture as at present. The editorial independence of RNW will remain sacrosanct. More information about the changes will be published as soon as these are official. On February 7, 2012, Andy Sennett also disclosed information about an upcoming RNW marathon event on the now-defunct Media Network weblog. Andy is quoted from the weblog exactly as it was published. On Friday, 11 May, we will have a marathon in Dutch. This will be a radio broadcast in which we look back with pride at 65 years of Dutch radio for expatriates and which will also serve as the farewell broadcast. Activities in other languages, especially those for the Dutch Caribbean and Indonesia, will also be discussed in detail. The choice of date has to do with the preparation time required to produce the radio marathon. The activities of the Dutch department will be phased out, but the timetable will depend on the progress of the reorganization and the available manpower needed to guarantee the quality of the programs. No formal decision has yet been made about the date of the final Dutch radio broadcast. There's been more communications drama in the United States on Capitol Hill. This next bit of news is brought to us by the BBG Watch. The BBG Watch is quoted in their entirety in this piece. BBG Watch has learned that Broadcasting Board of Governors, BBG, executives were on Capitol Hill last week trying to convince congressional staffers that Voice of America shortwave radio broadcasts to China are a waste of money. As it is usual for these BBG bureaucrats, they presented incomplete and misleading evidence, a well-informed source told us. When talking to congressional staffers about shortwave radio reception in China, BBG executives put together about 10 random samples of Voice of America Mandarin shortwave transmissions, which showed that between the Chinese government's jamming and co-channel interference, about 95% or more of what VOA broadcasts can't be heard. These BBG executives could have just as well done a demonstration for congressional staffers of internet access in China to Voice of America Mandarin and Cantonese websites. It would have shown that the Chinese government's blocking and censorship of VOA Chinese websites is about 99% effective unless one is a computer whiz kid who can access proxy servers before the Chinese cyber police discovers and blocks them. The truth of the matter is that these BBG executives want to eliminate the Voice of America as a U.S. broadcaster in China and to fire dozens of VOA journalists specializing in human rights reporting. Their argument about developing new media program delivery is a hoax, since using new media is by and large free or inexpensive, and the Voice of America Chinese branch already makes a good use of it. What these BBG bureaucrats want is to take money and resources from serious Voice of America journalism and to use them for themselves and their private contractors. The demonstration put together by these BBG executives for congressional staffers was purposely incomplete and misleading. Voice of America shortwave radio broadcasts in Mandarin and Cantonese can in fact be heard outside of the main metropolitan areas in China and even in some big cities at certain times. National Public Radio, NPR correspondents, reported recently that Tibetan Buddhist monks in Tibet secretly listen every night to VOA Tibetan shortwave radio programs. BBG executives should be asked how these Tibetan monks manage to listen to these shortwave broadcasts if jamming is 95% effective. Recently, a group of Voice of America radio listeners in China put together a video to show how important these VOA broadcasts are to them and to many disenfranchised and oppressed political, social, religious, and ethnic groups. The Broadcasting Board of Governors wants to pretend that groups like these do not exist and that VOA would be better off producing non-controversial programs such as English lessons that would appeal to a mass audience and be approved by the Chinese censors. BBG executives are so obsessed with faulty audience research that they don't see the big picture. English lessons are designed to attract listeners to substantive news on VOA. They are not an end in themselves. These bureaucrats have no idea why Tibetan monks and others in China want Voice of America radio. Women's Rights in China, WRIC, a non-governmental organization or otherwise known as an NGO, has produced a short video showing that both very young and older persons in China continue to rely on Voice of America, VOA radio broadcasts for uncensored news and information. Their comments, recorded in China, point to the censorship of the Internet by the Chinese authorities and the fact that hundreds of millions of Chinese cannot use the Internet to access VOA websites, which are being blocked in China or can't afford to have Internet access of any kind because they are too poor. The Voice of America celebrated last year the 70th anniversary of broadcasting to China. Its supporters in China seem in this video, wish VOA happy birthday, which almost could not have been celebrated as the U.S. agency responsible for these broadcasts wanted to stop them shortly before the 70th anniversary date. Thanks to numerous protests in China and in the United States, members of Congress from both parties prevented the Broadcasting Board of Governors, BBG, from implementing its plan to end VOA radio and TV programs to China on October 1, 2011, which happened to be the anniversary of the founding of Communist China. The BBG again wants to end VOA radio and television in Cantonese. BBG executives also want to terminate VOA Tibetan radio programs. Women's Rights in China video was recorded in China by WRIC volunteers. Those appearing in this video have shown a lot of courage by admitting on camera that they are listeners to VOA radio broadcasts, but please note that their names are not used. They know that listening to VOA radio is safer than using the Internet. The BBG staff's presentation on Capitol Hill was highly misleading. Here are some counter-arguments. Since the samples are all from urban or built-up areas, what about samples from the countryside? What about anecdotal evidence do they have regarding jamming from Chinese individuals who have listened to VOA from rural areas that have either escaped or emigrated to the U.S.? What active measures have the IBB taken to overcome jamming? Have they shifted frequencies or bands on a random or radical basis? Have they transmitted from various transmitter sites to change the incoming angle, i.e. north-south, east-west, over the Ural Mountains, etc., in order to make jamming more difficult? By not attempting to overcome jamming, isn't this a form of surrender in the war of ideas? Does the BBG believe we are involved in a war of ideas with China, or that they have a role to play in its prosecution? Have they experimented with twilight transmission within an hour before and an hour after sunrise and sunset, when propagation patterns change and make jamming more difficult? Do they see any potential with digital transmission in the shortwave DRM? Have they conducted any experimentation whatsoever with DRM in China? If shortwave transmission to China is so poor, why is the BBG intent on continuing, if not upgrading, RFA shortwave transmission while eliminating VOA transmission? Is the BBG in agreement that VOA and surrogate programming have entirely different purposes and that neither should be homogenized nor turned into a hybrid service or not? Have they distributed or proliferated shortwave radio receivers, particularly to individuals in these disenfranchised communities? Do they see any value in giving poor populations more shortwave access? Finally, shortwave is the only way to communicate with the economic and politically disenfranchised, desperate individuals in China. These are people that suffer the most from human rights abuses and the ones that are most in need of VOA programming. As Dr. Len Zowski, so eloquently states, it is VOA programming that helps reduce the atomization of politically disenfranchised individuals that are separated from each other by the totalitarian regime, and they cannot coalesce political power. Most of these individuals continue to live in poor areas where there are no electrical infrastructures in their communities. Therefore, it is impossible to communicate with them on the internet or via social media, since they have no electrical access whatsoever, let alone the economic wherewithal to purchase internet products. Does the BBG still consider this demographic group as a target population for VOA programming, or are they only interested in reaching the movers and shakers and youth populations that have internet access in the urban areas? If the BBG is not interested in continuing an appeal to this particular demographic group, there's a serious disconnect between the BBG leadership and the journalists in the various language services. From my observation, the disenfranchised demographic in our target areas is the one that most of the journalists in most of the language services are most interested in reaching. If this is not the same concern of the BBG, then there needs to be a serious re-education of either the BBG leadership or the journalists. If this is the case, this disparity between the preferred target audience of the BBG leadership and the target audience of the majority of the VOA journalists is a contributing factor to low morale in our building. There is no wonder the BBG ends up at the bottom of the list of federal government agencies in the Human Capital Survey of Employees. This is how Jing Zhang, a former political prisoner in China who now lives in the United States and runs Women's Rights in China, explained the importance of Voice of America's radio broadcasts for the audiences that the Broadcasting Board of Governors wants to forget about. The internet offers undeniable advantages. However, it cannot replace radio broadcasting. In today's China, foreign radio broadcasts in Chinese are still a crucial source of outside information for the majority of the population who lack access to the internet. Voice of America not only provides indispensable and truthful news reporting, it also upholds the image of the United States and is a valuable antidote to the great foreign propaganda plan of the Chinese regime. Not only would the elimination of VOA's Chinese language service be contrary to the spirit and values of America's founding fathers, it would inflict irreparable harm on generations of dissidents and advocates of freedom and democracy, and silence the most vulnerable groups in Chinese society, the women and children. You can read more about former Chinese political prisoner Ms. Zhang's appeal by going to http://tinyurl.com/7EV6SAA. Corrine May, Singapore's most successful female music artist was recently hosted by Singapore radio station Class 95 FM at the Hard Rock Cafe on Cuscaden Road in Singapore. This event was to showcase Corrine's newest collection of songs called Crooked Lines. Corrine May has watched her last three albums sell over 30,000 copies in Singapore alone. You can visit Corrine's website by going to http://www.corrinemay.com/fr_home.cfm. That's www.corrinemay.com/fr_home.cfm. And you can visit the Class 95 FM website by going to http://entertainment.xin.msn.com/en/radio/class9/5/.
It's living every moment like it could be our last, for our hearts are restless till they rest in love's caress, and the moments we remember, they interweave our hearts like a tapestry surrounding us that we forget to touch. It's why we wake up every morning. It's why we seek each other's smile. It's why we know that it's all worth it. It's why we hold on, we make the sacrifice. It's in the
This last bit of news from Shortwave America comes with great sadness. The W5YI Amateur Radio and Commercial Licensing Resources website has announced that Fred Maya, W5YI, has passed away after fighting a long battle with cancer. Fred left the world behind on Wednesday evening, March 28, 2012. Memorial services will be held at 3 p.m., Saturday, March 31st, 2012, at Moore Funeral Home, 1219 North Davis Drive, Arlington, Texas, 76012. The W5YI Group website states the following information. In honor of Fred Maya, founder of W5YI Group, W5YI VEC, National Radio Examiners, our offices will be closed for business Friday, March 30th, and will reopen Monday, April 2nd. Fred has left behind an amazing history in the world of radio and will be missed by many. The staff of Shortwave America and PCJ Media wish to pass on our deepest sympathies and condolences to Fred's family and friends. Thank you to all of the listeners for being here and being part of Shortwave America. You can always enjoy Shortwave America 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year by visiting www.shortwaveamerica.blogspot.com. That's www.shortwaveamerica.blogspot.com. This next segment brings us to international broadcast news, courtesy of PCJ Radio and their Media Network Plus program. Here's Paulette Macquarie.
The Rwandan Parliament has launched its radio station, Radio Inteko, on FM 101.5. The radio station was officially launched amid celebrations from a cheerful audience of senior government officials and a blend of local musicians. During the event, the Minister in charge of Cabinet Affairs, Protais Moussoni, noted that the general public will be directly connected to Parliament. This development is timely because for the public, Parliament is just a call away. There is direct access. People will no longer have to wait for updates on government businesses, said Moussoni amid applause. This is in line with government's desire of creating awareness by disseminating vital information regarding various policies, said Moussoni, who is also in charge of media. The radio station was established with the support of United Nations Development Programme, UNDP, and the UK Department for International Development. Swaziland plans to crack down on criticism of King Mswati III by making it illegal to badmouth Africa's last absolute monarch on Facebook and Twitter, said the Justice Minister. We will be tough on those who write bad things about the king on Twitter and Facebook. We want to set an example, Justice Minister Magwagwa Gamidze told the Senate. The minister said government was finalizing a law that will make it illegal to speak badly of the king on social media networks, and that it would soon come to the tiny mountain kingdom's parliament, which rubber stamps legislation. Mswati has faced growing criticism and unprecedented public protests over the last year due to a financial crisis that has pushed the kingdom to the brink of bankruptcy. Gamedzi was responding to Senator Thuli Masani, who on Thursday said people continuously wrote terrible things about the nation and its authorities on social media. It's like the moment Swazi people cross the border to neighboring countries, they begin to go on a campaign to disrespect their own country and king, said Masani. Surely there is something that must be done with them. There must be a law that can take them to task, he said. Brussels is willing to bear the cost of Portuguese-language broadcasts on Euronews for 2 years, so long as state-owned broadcaster RTP maintains its shareholding in the pan-European news channel and pays its annual fees, said Vice President of the European Commission, Viviane Reding. RTP will also have to guarantee to keep the broadcast going long after the 2-year period of assistance comes to an end. Portugal, through RTP, pays about 1.8 million euro a year to ensure the multilingual news channel broadcasts in Portuguese, but government cutbacks have put that service at risk. RTP has a 1.4% stake in Euronews and pays 360,000 euro a year in fees. The Netherlands has shipped a container with a mobile radio studio to Sierra Leone. The Radio Netherlands Training Center donated the studio to War Child, an organization that assists children and young people in war zones. There's a complete radio studio inside the container. Children and young people in Sierra Leone will use the studio to broadcast their own radio programs. The Radio in a Box concept is the brainchild of Radio Netherlands Worldwide. It was originally designed to enable producers in disaster zones to get back on the air in the wake of an emergency. In the past, these mobile studios were sent to Indonesia, where there was an urgent need for radio broadcasts after the tsunami in 2004. RNW no longer needs these radio containers because it has built even more compact studios. RNW has one remaining radio container and is thinking of where it would be most useful. Special thanks to Andy Sennett at the Radio Netherlands Worldwide Media Network blog for the material used here today. For more reports from Andy, check out his blog, http://blogs.rnw.nl/media network. Or you can find a link for them at www.pcjmedia.com.
You can now hear programs from PCJ Radio while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. It's free and just takes a few seconds. Then during registration, hit the promo code box and enter PCJ to get automatically entered to win $100. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the right menu. PCJ Radio on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio.
Thank you to PCJ Radio for allowing use of Media Network Plus News here at Shortwave America. You can hear full episodes of Media Network Plus to include weekly 7-day radio propagation forecasts at www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus. We are now at the humor segment of our program. This week, from the PCJ Radio and Skybird Radio archives, we have for you the second episode of Flash Frizzbone Radio Ace.
And now, the Aircheck Factory presents the amazing radio adventures of Floating Flash Frizzbone. Floating Flash Frizzbone, Radio Ace, America's most transient disc jockey. Floating Flash Frizzbone, the jock that just can't keep a job. You'll remember last time, Radio Ace, Floating Flash Frizzbone, was waiting for the next dog sled to take him from Staple Gun, Saskatchewan, where an avalanche had just struck the CHIT tower. As we tune in this month, the tower is now toppling in the direction where our hero is standing. Could this be the end? But wait, what's that? Off in the distance, the swish of helicopter blades. It's the KMPC traffic copter. In an effort to get away from the smog, they decided to head just a little north of L.A. until the air cleared and, well, Flash, not being one to pass up a free ride, hails the copter.
Hey, you guys!
And just in the nick of time. As the helicopter with Flash safely aboard begins heading south, the steel structure that was the tower of CHIT crashes down on the studios of Canada's only high-energy wall-to-wall station. The studios and record library of the 250-watt AM facility are completely destroyed at an estimated damage of $75.44. Luckily, disc jockey Ironjaw Palmer was not in the studios at the time of the destruction. He was floating a Ferranti and Teicher album while trying to make a date with Maggie Stanton, the station secretary. And so, our hero, Floating Flash Frizzbone, is safe, but once again out of work. But not for long. On the floor of the KMPC traffic copter, he finds a copy of Broadcasting Magazine. As per usual, he begins reading it from back to front. Under Help Wanted Announcers, he reads,
"Are you a communicator? We need you. Popular medium market talk show in early evenings." Early evenings? That's my favorite shift. Right, box 94, Broadcasting Magazine. Hot dog!
And Flash immediately addresses one of the envelopes containing his audition tape and resume. As soon as he gets dropped off, he'll put it in the mail. And then it's just a matter of waiting. You know, it's a funny thing about radio. The station in the blind box ad turned out to be the same one that fired Flash just 2 weeks earlier. But things in broadcasting being what they are, Flash beat out the other two applicants, a dropout from the Matchbook School of Radio and TV, and the station's janitor. So we join Flash now at his first day back on the air at WYAP, Yammer Radio 94, in Keokuk, Iowa. Let's listen.
And the number is 245 TALK. That's 245 Talk on the Frizz phone. Hey, we had a big city council meeting last night. We got an open line tonight. Talk about anything you want to talk about at 245 TALK. And we have 5 open lines right now. So you can call right now. And there's 5 open lines. Hey, how about, what do you think about it? Who do you think should run for president? Huh? You think it should be Carter? Or what? 245 TALK, that's 245 Talk on the Frizz phone on WYAP in Keokuk. Hey, it's nice to be back. We have five open lines right now, and this is your show. This is open line tonight. Talk about anything. It's 245 TALK. It's 245 Talk. And what about the Olympics, huh? What do you think about that, eh? Was that right thing to do? And you think where do you think we should have the Olympics? And it's 245 Talk TALK and Yammer Radio, Yap 94 and. You've got open lines right now, five open lines. Listen, I think what we need is more taxes. You know, I mean, how do you think they pay for all that stuff that makes America great? You know, like the Lincoln Monument. You think they built that for free, huh? Huh? Let's raise the taxes. What do you say? What do you say, Keokuk? Let's raise the taxes, huh? Let's up those taxes. And, you know, I mean, so what? I mean, you know, let's and gasoline should be $3 a gallon, too, hey? 245, TALK, got five open lines. 245 TALK. Free right now. Call. Yeah, I think they should draft women. Sure. They should send them to the front lines. They want equal? They want equal? I'll give them equal. Hey. I mean, you know, wouldn't that make trench warfare interesting if we had women in the front lines, huh? Huh? What do you think of that? What do you think of that, Keokuk? Give me a call. 245 TALK, come on, huh? Huh? You know what I think? I think you people are all deadheads. That's what I think. We got five open lines here, and nobody's calling, hey? You know, you wouldn't know how to talk if they paid you. Come on, call me. 245 TALK. This is the Frizz phone. It's your show. This isn't my show. It's your show. I mean, you know. You know what you guys are out there listening to the radio? You're nothing but a bunch of commie pinko fags. Yeah, you're probably sitting around playing with yourself instead of calling. You know, you can use those fingers for other stuff. Put them in a phone and call 245-TALK. You know? I mean, that's my opinion. What's yours? This is a Frizz phone. 245-TALK. What's the matter? Cat got your tongue, huh? You want to call me or what? We got a call. Wait a minute. We got a call coming in on line one. Hello? Oh, this is a Frizz phone. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like a large with extra cheese and sausage and pepperoni and onions. So that's for John Bellanger. Hello?
Goodbye. All right, now look. All right, I told the clown that owns this poor excuse of a radio station, I told him, I said, there's two things. Two things that'll get me back on the air. Thing number one, you get rid of Bob's used cars, because he really took me for a ride in that Pinto. I'm not kidding you. I still say that was the lousiest deal I ever had. Okay, he said, we'll put him on in the earlier show. Okay, fine. And then I said, number two, you get me some good guests and some good topics. What does he give me? You know, he gives me this old stale stuff about the Olympics, this crap about the taxes. I mean, it's the same stuff that nobody ever called about before. You people are all deadheads. You people are all, listen, I mean, you know, I'm ready to use the F word. You people don't know nothing about what... Got a call. A call on line two. Hello, this is the Frizz phone.
Mr. Frizz phone, this is the general manager's office. You're fired.
I know I should have hired this janitor.
Well, it looks like our hero is out of work again, but totally undaunted.
Mom was right!
Join us next month for the further continuing...
I'm gonna kill myself!
Hopefully continuing adventures of... Floating Flash Frizzbone. Radio Ace. We hope to see you next month.
I'm gonna go stick my fingers in a transmitter. This isn't worth it.
And if Flash does do himself in, what will the recording studio do for the next 10 episodes that have been contracted? For answers to these and other poignant questions, join us next month for the further adventures of Floating Flash Frizzbone. The Adventures of the Radio Ace are produced at Studio B in Marquette, Michigan.